This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I like my Warriors.
Oh, we do. We still like our Warriors. Tough loss, though. Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. There will be a Game 6, folks. There will be a Game 6. And it says here at the top of the rundown, promote this a lot. Tomorrow, Game 6, Friday, 6 o'clock, Chase Center. Be there or be square. We don't want to go back to Houston. I don't want to go back to the Toyota Center. I don't want any of that. But we're reacting to that game, I guess you can call it, a mess. I don't know what to call it. 40-24 after quarter one, Joe. And it felt even halfway through that first quarter like this team just had no shot in this one. You could feel it early, whether it's from, you know, Jimmy Butler and Steph not scoring, whether it was just the energy. It just felt like the Houston Rockets wanted it. They needed it. Their backs were against the wall. They are the more desperate team, and they played like it. And, you know, hats off to them. Got chippy towards the end. We'll get into all of it. The game, as far as I'm concerned, like there were some moments with the, you know, the comeback with the Pat Spencers and TJD and Şengün and all that. I guess that's a minor win that you got the starters back in the game late. But as far as the game goes, it was secondary to now you got a game six and you got to take care of business on your home court tomorrow.
That one's just, you know, you hear a lot like burn the tape, forget about it. I understand that mentality, but to me, that's going to overlook all the great things that the Rockets did in this one that I think can carry over into the next game that you have to shore up. Like, Joe, they have to shore this up. Ball security in the half court. How many times did Thompson get right up into Curry's grill and just pick his pocket?
Yeah. Three turnovers for Steph.
And, I mean, it's just bad. Bad. I thought the pace was perfect for the Rockets. They did a great job throttling down when they needed to, staying in zone when they needed to, pressuring the ball in man-to-man situations when they needed to, fueling their transition game with big steals and big rebounds. They were getting shots in the paint, second chance opportunities, wide open looks from outside. And then once their confidence started to, you know, really increase, their shot making did as well. They hit so many crazy shots around the rim from deep. You know, they got Jalen Green going. They set a couple of really nice high screens. I thought the Rockets did everything that they wanted in that first quarter. And you could say, Joe, we look old and we weren't really trying and all that. That to me is not, that's not giving the opponent enough credit. I think that the Warriors looked very old. They have exerted a lot of energy. This is a different team with 2 days rest versus 1 day's rest. You know, there's a penance to pay for how hard you've had to play over the last couple of weeks and days. And the reality is that the Rockets now have tremendous confidence and they have a blueprint for what has stymied the Warriors. And they're going to get up into our grill and they're going to play great defense and they're not going to back down. And if they hit, they're not going to hit like this, but if they hit shots, Their confidence is only going to increase, and their ability to play inside out and in the transition game. Right now, we just don't have that in the bag. And so, yeah, I'm very concerned after that game. And God bless Pat Spencer for how hard he played. Like, the headbutt, we'll get to it. But, like, that guy was bringing it. And he's one of the few guys, and it's kind of the reality of where the Warriors are at, who actually looked athletic enough to play on the field, on the court, if you will, with the Houston Rockets. That is something that is not going to go away. And if Draymond and Quinn Post and Buddy and Pods and Butler aren't looking to shoot, we're in trouble. We have got to be squared up to the hoop and being a threat in the half court. That is the biggest problem for this team offensively right now. Not enough guys are ready to shoot.
Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First and NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. You can hit us up there. You can hit us up at 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Want to hear from the people today. 131-116. Warriors still lead the series 3-2, but now heads back to Chase Center tomorrow. Tip off at 6 o'clock, and coverage of that starts right here on 95.7 The Game at 5. So we'll have all that coverage leading up to that game. We'll be breaking it down all day today. We want to hear from you. Are you worried? Are you officially concerned after that loss? Or are you looking at it and saying, you know what? The Warriors played like, to me, I'm coming out of it and saying the Warriors played like a team that knows that they were up 3-1.
I don't even want to hear that.
That's fine. You don't want to hear it, but that's the reality. Like that, like this, Steph Curry,
that's
Jimmy Butler.
Out.
No, it's not. That's a fact. They were up 3-1. We've seen this already. 2022, this is the same thing that happened with the Memphis Grizzlies.
I don't buy
Dylan
that.
Dylan Brooks is also on that team.
I don't buy that.
The Memphis Grizzlies destroyed them. And then what happened in game six? The Memphis Grizzlies got owned.
This is an older team with an already injured Steph and an injured, you know, Jimmy Butler. I understand that sentiment. Believe me, I'm not saying that there isn't an element of that, but I think that completely ignores all the great things that the Rockets did. And what's your excuse for the first quarter then? Oh, we just didn't want to play? Steph's had now 2 back-to-back bad games. Draymond's really been good for about a quarter and a half, if we're being honest, through 5 full games, right? Jimmy Butler's had moments, full second half in the last game, which was brilliant. Game one was brilliant. But clearly, you know, he's a diminished player right now. You know, Pods, not a great game from him. Quinn Post completely regressed in this one. Doesn't mean he can't get it back, but like the Amen Thompson has gotten better and better and better. Fred VanVleet has gotten better and better and better. Şengün, Adams, they've had their way the whole series. There are things that you could say are outliers, you know, like Fred VanVleet shooting. All right. Well, then he's done it back-to-back games. You know, Jalen Green did it now in 2 of the games.
Jalen Green didn't have a great
game. I thought he was really good in the first quarter.
Shooting wise, he was 3 of 8 overall.
Yeah,
he had 11
points. Really
first quarter, but that's fine. But I think what Jalen Green did yesterday, he was like, I'm not going to shoot us out of this game. So I'm going to pick and choose my spots. His shot's still not quite there, but again, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. You have 8 rebounds. And that's, again, Şengün is going to do what he does. He was an assist and rebound shy of having a triple double. I mean, some of that was due for having to come back late in that fourth quarter when the backup dubs, if you will, the C dubs almost, were making that run. And if it wasn't for like 7 straight Braxton Key smoked layups, maybe they do cut it to single digits at one point, but they couldn't get it done. The Rockets end up holding on there late in the fourth after a furious rally from the Warriors. But even then, there was at no point where I felt really concerned that the Warriors were actually going to come back and win that game. And I don't think there was at any point where Steve Kerr was actually going to go back to his starters. I think he brought Buddy Hield back at one point, and that was about it. And again, you mentioned it earlier. We'll get to the Pat Spencer headbutt heard around the
Pat
world.
Spencer.
I know you. Draymond loved it.
Loved it.
Everyone.
And I love TJD's response to that entire situation.
Yeah.
I thought Dylan Brooks completely overreacted. I mean, for a guy that's known for physicality, and he's saying some stuff in postgame that triggered a lot of Warrior fans. He had newsflash. If people know that you have a specific injury, they're going to go at it. It's pro sports. Mm. You know, these are adults. Look, I'm telling you as an older guy who plays against younger players, and I'm not a professional. I'm not pretending like I am. But there are nights where you want to play hard. And because you're old, you just can't summon it. Right? And there's a penance to be paid when you fight as hard as you did the night before and the night before that to win those 2 games, and you don't have the prerequisite rest to get up and ready. And the youth versus the age really showed itself yesterday. And you know what? It's not getting easier. All right, you got game 6 at 6 o'clock. You got to fly back. You got to get ready to go. Like, I hear they knew they were up 3-1 and
they played like a team that for me anyways. I know it sounds like you're saying that's a cop out, but it's just the reality. Like when you have championship players and champions that have been here and done that before in the past, again, that's why I mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies series back in 2022, where they got blown out in Memphis, came back to Chase Center and took care of business in 6 games. Like, I'm looking at this in a similar fashion.
Also, yeah, we kind of know we have like a game to play with. And I get like, I know like that there are blowouts. Like before the Jordan shot in the Utah Jazz, I think Utah won by like 40 or 50
yeah.
the game prior to that. Like, I understand that this is the natural ebb and flow of a series. That being said, there are some legitimate concerns if you're watching the game and being fair. Like, their size has bothered us every single game. Has it not?
No, but yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How about size the matters. On-ball defense on Steph Curry? Has that bothered him for the most part the entire series?
I don't know what's more bothersome for Steph right now, and he's not going to tell you one way or the other. Is it that defense or is it that thumb right now? That's that we all saw the picture of, by the way, and we get into it. Steph was asked about it. I know you saw the picture.
Everybody's hurt.
It's no, but I'm referencing the picture that it was leaked. Yeah. It was him getting off the plane, and they zoomed in on his hand, where I think it was his right hand. And the thumb just, it looked like, you know those jawbreakers? It looked like one of those was inserted in the top of his thumb. Just this huge ball. It's like, that can't be good. That can't be comfortable. And then he gets slapped in the hand yesterday in that first quarter. No foul was called, whether it was him and Şengün.
Well, he got hit by two guys on the 3-point shot.
Two guys and once. And no call.
That happens. It's the playoffs.
And Steve Kerr talked about it after the game, and he was just like, yeah, you know, like that they haven't been calling that. You can, I guess, slap their hands. It's hopefully something the league will look into this offseason. But again, that's not an excuse. I'm just saying that's what happened early on in that game. And Steph, is it the thumb? Is it the fatigue? Is it just him being turnover prone? Amen Thompson had 5 steals at the half. 5 steals. They were the more desperate team yesterday, and they played like it early on, and that's why they won. They dropped 40 in the first quarter, Joe. 40. They had 76 at the half in this game, and game one, they scored 85 in total.
I know. But like, look at your first quarter scoring. Jimmy Butler, 0 points. Buddy Hield, 0 points. Both had a foul, okay? Draymond Green, who hit a couple of early buckets, I believe your first two baskets, okay? He had 5, and he had a foul. Pajemski had 3. Steph had 2 turnovers, 2 fouls, and 0 points.
Wasn't good.
This is the first quarter.
Yeah.
All right? So we can make excuses about tired. Look, I'll buy that in the second half. To start the game, the Rockets set the tone. The Warriors failed to execute. They were up in their grill. And you could give me the psychology of, hey, you know, it's a blowout. Just dismiss this. Amen Thompson's defense and their blitzing of Steph Curry situationally has been pretty freaking special all series. I think that is something that they're going to have to navigate, right? There are subtle changes to how the Warriors set up their zone by using Şengün at the top of the key as a screener to free things up for Jalen Green to start going downhill. That was a nice alteration.
These are
the little chess match moves. We could talk about officiating. We could talk about, oh, they're hitting crazy shots. And those are true elements of the game. But there are legitimate things that they have done that have stymied the Warriors that I don't know if we have an answer to.
888-957-9570. The one thing I expect not to happen going forward again was, you know, every single player on the Rockets outside of Jalen Green.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And was just on fire shooting the ball. That is an outlier in this series so far. But again, if they do that again, I think you just tip their cap. Like, if they're going to be dropping 130, which is the most points ever scored by the Houston Rockets against said Warriors in the playoffs, like, sure, tip your hat. They'll probably beat anyone if they're doing what they did yesterday. Like, that's just one of those games where you take the L and you move on. You're back home tomorrow again, Friday, 6 o'clock, right here, 95.7 The Game. Chase Center is going to be popping. It's going to be loud. Get there early. We need your support there as we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios right here in San Francisco. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed, again, in San Francisco. It's Spadoni and Shasky. We want all your calls today. Start lining them up. Jimmy in Bayview, Dave in South City, Jason, we are going to get to you guys. And again, hit us up via call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And we got some guests today. Daniel Lurie, the mayor, 9 o'clock, going to be joining us. And Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock. Can't wait to hear that. Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock today on with Willard and Ditz for his weekly. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about this. Because Steve Kerr's been here before, as we've mentioned, 2022. And also, I guess the Sacramento Kings, like, it wasn't the same scenario, up 3-1. But I do remember, and this is what you don't want, they were up 3-2 against the Kings, and you and your brother were at this game. They're up 3-2 against the Kings.
At home.
At home at Chase Center, and what happened?
It was one of the worst games I've ever been to. It was a blowout.
Yeah, they got blown. That is what
the
you don't want.
The crowd couldn't even get involved because the first quarter, like last night, the first quarter was all Kings. And trust me, the crowd tried to. And everyone was like, Chase Center sucks. And it's not, give us something to cheer for. I was there. I was ready. My brother was, he had a couple beers in him. He was ready to cheer.
Yeah.
There was nothing to cheer for. Look, first quarter is a problem right now. The Warriors have got to figure out whatever their starting lineup is. Maybe it's going back to Moody. I don't know. Like, if you're looking for silver linings, like, one of the silver linings is that guy, Moses Moody, he might not have his shot going every night. I know he's going to give me everything he has. Like, I love him. Pat Spencer, I'm not saying he's the answer. Believe me, I'm not. Pat Spencer can play in this series. His athleticism and size actually can play. I think he's a couple of minute, you know, guy. I think he can find some room. Guy Santos was not afraid yesterday.
No.
Now, Quinn Post had some atrocious minutes in this game. He did hit a couple shots. Okay.
I thought his defensive lapses were the most glaring for me.
He's a rook.
He got attacked. No, I know, but we can call it. It's okay to say that. Like, but he this is a playoff series and he's going to get picked on defensively as these things go on, if they even do advance. Like, he got picked on, and that's part of this whole process. Is you got a lot of guys first time through the playoffs. Like, that was a big game, and that was a moment where the more desperate team, the team that was down 3-1, knew that they needed to win. They did their job. Now it's up to the Warriors to counter, because the last thing anyone wants, I know you don't want, is to go back to Houston, because they will be playing with confidence. And if that happens again in the first quarter back in Houston, yeah, then you blew another 3-1 series lead, and that's what we're talking about. And that is something on Monday I do not want to be talking
about.
This
is where age is really starting to factor in, and they're to me, that first quarter screamed everyone was afraid to shoot, and in the second quarter as well. And their zone, like, they know their defense is so dialed in right now. They know the personnel of the Warriors better than the Warrior fans do. They know who they want to leave open. They're like, hey, Pods, we dare you to have another 25-point game. Right? And Pods didn't have a great game. Like, I'm not mad at Pods. He's in his second year. Draymond Green has not been able to sustain offense, and he is the guy that they are going to dare to initiate offense at the top of the key as a dribble drive penetrator, or they're just going to let him shoot those threes. And they don't think he can hit enough to be able to make them have to go out and guard him. Jimmy Butler was really passive, missed a couple of shots, thought settled for some late shot clock stuff because things weren't moving. Their pace of play in the half court has been so constipated. And that's because of the Rockets' defense. They know the personnel really well. Now, Buddy made some plays in the second half that have me encouraged. Attacking the hoop, going at the rim. He's going to have to do that every now and then. He can't just go bombs away. And look, if Steph Curry is going to be a net negative as a turnover machine at the top of the key because of the unbelievable on-ball pressure by Amen Thompson, like, we are in trouble. I'm not saying the sky's falling. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all from last night. But there were some things that were really big issues that really reared their head that were also issues in the four preceding games.
What's the concern level at right now, Dub Nation? After that loss yesterday, you're still up 3-2 in the series, back home tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Chase Center. Like, is it nothing to see here, scheduled loss as far as you're concerned, or is it, we might be in some trouble? Which one is it? 888-957-9570 is the number, call or text. And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Safeway. Rockets 131, Warriors 116, we're reacting to it. There will be a game six tomorrow, folks. 40-24 after one quarter of play yesterday. I think even the most diehard Warrior fan was feeling like, probably not going to win this one. Probably don't have that comeback built in for us tonight, just given everything, the lethargic nature of some of the big boys, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Draymond. Those looked like three veteran players, at least for me, Shasky. They're like, yeah, we got one to play with here. Let's go back home. Let's wrap this thing up in six, and we'll take our chances at home at Chase Center. But again, doesn't take away any of the sting of that loss yesterday, and there was some spiciness, there was some chippiness. Late, the Warriors bench players, the C-dubs, if you will, made a late run and got the Rocket starters back in the game, actually. Then it got chippy again, Shangoon, Trace Jackson-Davis, Pat Spencer. We'll play the call here in a second. But what did you make of that real quick, that whole, you know, Pat Spencer run? He was getting whatever he wanted. He was driving to the lane. Moses Moody ended up dropping 25 points. Was there any point for you, Joe, late in that game, like, oh, wait, were they giving you any hope that, like, something could happen?
No, but they were playing really hard, and yeah. I appreciated it. And I think, you know, I think the easy thing for people to say is to criticize Curry. Oh, this is why you should have played more of the young guys. Like, no. But the other part of this can be true in the sense of, like, those guys need to earn their minutes. I think Moses Moody, the silver lining, if you will, and again, this is, we're not giving out Capri Suns and Orange slices. Cooper. This guy needed some long runway to find a shot, and I thought that he found a little something. Pat Spencer's just not afraid, period, of any moment, and I love that about him. And I thought that TJD clearly can jump and give them some fits. I don't know if he is some end-all, be-all solution, but I think in a small role, he might be useful. And I think that he has kind of proving that, like, I'm not going to back down from any of these guys. And so you might end up needing him on Friday night. You might end up needing him if it gets resulted to a game seven. But there were certain things. I think the number one thing was, like, hey, when you play some of the younger guys, they can kind of get up and down the floor with these dudes. Mm-hmm. And they were attacking the hoop. And I thought Buddy, specifically in the fourth quarter, is like finally taking the ball off the dribble and getting to the hole. The other element is that they finally, like, pressured Fred VanVleet and said, we're going to make you dribble. That was the bigger takeaway. We're not just going to do senseless double teams. Make Fred VanVleet dribble.
Another aspect of yesterday's game is, again, you mentioned Fred VanVleet. That's back-to-back games now where he is balling from beyond the arc. He's one of those guys where he just pulls up in transition at this point from three. At least given the last two games, I feel like it's going in every time. He's one of those players where it's not off ball. It's just running to his spot, getting it, releasing it. Splash. And that's what he did yesterday. That's what Dylan Brooks did yesterday. That's what Amen Thompson did yesterday. They were all balling and getting to the free throw line and making them, also a big factor early on, yeah, in that 13 game.
13-13 in the first quarter. But the Warriors were fouling.
32-38 overall. Yeah, they were. They were hacking.
Like,
absolutely.
Anyone, you're like, oh, the officiating. Like, I actually thought the Warriors were fouling. Now, did they miss a couple on Steph? Probably. That always happens. But, you know, Butler had a foul. Jimmy had a foul. Jimmy Butler had a foul. Yep. Steph had a foul. Draymond had a foul. Like, boom, boom, boom. And you know why? Because they're slow, yeah, and they're older, and they're reacting to a guy that blew by somebody else. And too many times you're seeing the younger team either get out in transition and put you in a compromised spot, or they're doing some really subtle things like a high screen where a guy's getting downhill and it's breaking down your defense and they're skipping the ball around. And so, like, you could tell me that they punted the game. And, yeah, after the results of the first quarter, I would buy into that. But what's the excuse for the first quarter? I don't think you just show up and, like, I don't want to play today. I'm going to run through the motions. I think you try to, you know, draw up some energy and you ain't got it on a given night. Like, I listen to that, but that also diminishes what the Houston Rockets did.
Absolutely, no. And I don't think it was, you know, an effort level, quote unquote, because I would never question the effort of guys like Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry. But I just think the Rockets punched them in the mouth,
yes,
had their best offensive quarter of the series,
exactly,
and they ran away with it. And that happens sometimes. The crowd gets into it. Guys, like, even the greatest players of all time, like, when that crowd is in that frenzy, and that's like the loudest I've heard this entire series from the Toyota Center out in Houston, like that gets to guys like Draymond. He's even mentioned it in the, you were there at the Garden, like in the Boston, in the NBA Finals, like that can get to Jimmy. That can get to Steph, like the greatest of the greats. Like that stuff starts wearing on you, make mistakes. It gets louder. And they could not recover yesterday. Here's how it sounded, though. The Şengün, TJD, Pat Spencer, was it 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? There's a lot that happened. So Şengün started this all, by the way.
Well, Dylan Brooks got a rebound.
Yes.
In traffic. And it looked like Moody and Pat Spencer were boxing out their respected guys. And, you know, they were jarring for the ball. I thought it was a total, like, nothing to see here play.
Yes.
And Dylan Brooks is doing the, I call it the youngster move, where I get a rebound and then I flail my elbows,
yeah,
which can get dicey, right? But guys are trying to tie him up for a jump ball, and that's when the whole melee starts. I thought Dylan Brooks, you know what, play the call and we'll explain it.
Here we go. And this is sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
That's the key missed the layup. And Dylan Brooks and Spencer, and now Şengün has something to say. Trayce Jackson-Davis, and here we go.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, TJD gave him a pretty good shove there. So Braxton Key missed the layup. Dylan Brooks was pushed out of bounds. He was fouled.
Bob Fitzgerald and Clint Azbuki on the call. You can hear the smile on Fitz's face, if you will, through that call. And yeah, Braxton Key missed like a bajillion layups. He's good Lord. I thought the guy was smoking parliaments. He smoked so many layups. Shout out our guy, Tom, the other day. Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert. This is their version on the call right here on 95.7 The Game.
Even if the Warriors lose, we're adding another level of spice to the series.
I did not think this would this could get spicy in the fourth quarter.
I did not think so either.
I thought it'd be super mild.
It was Şengün first. Yeah. Yeah, well, Şengün came up and headbutted Spencer, albeit lightly now. Just nose to nose. Spencer did it.
Well, maybe it's Spencer the headbutt.
Spencer headbutted him. I thought it was the other way around. Yeah. I'm wrong. It was Spencer first. And now, but Şengün did the talking, that's for sure.
I think Spencer and Jackson Davis may get technicals. Yeah. Must be a lacrosse thing.
He came away, and now, I see. Şengün, I think, was defending Brooks, saying it was a cheap play.
Yeah.
And then Spencer went to him and said, I've gotten whacked in the face by a stick. Don't come to me.
Right here on 95.7 The Game, that call. And it was spicy late in that game. And I was actually listening to that version of it. I was driving around, and I heard Tom and Tim talking about it. And yeah, Pat Spencer, lacrosse player, came out there. But I did think Şengün started the whole thing. He shoved him with an elbow.
No, he started
all that. But again,
Dylan Brooks started it by overreacting to two guys trying to tie him up on a rebound.
The physical nature, I'm saying, Şengün getting in with Pat Spencer, and then Pat Spencer going back at him. He was up, back, and down.
Dylan Brooks, he's going like this. He falls to the ground, which I actually think he knocked himself to the ground. And then the way he got up looking for trouble, to me, he initiated the entire thing. He overreacted to a basic play.
Hey, you love that from Pat Spencer, though, right? You love every second of
it. I love Pat Spencer. Well, and also, if Shangoon's going to get in his face, get out of my face.
Yeah.
And I look, I have a buddy, I have a couple buddies that were notorious headbutters. Had Pat Spencer wanted to truly headbutt him, he would have exploded his nose. That's what the real headbutters do in those fighting situations. They will bet. I'm not joking. I am not. I do not say this flippantly. I've seen multiple people have their noses exploded by somebody, headbutting them at just the right time. Pat Spencer gave him the get out of my face, kind of like
That was him letting him know that I'm here. That wasn't him being malicious. That was him saying, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, like, and
I'm
then not TJD scared. Standing up for his guy. I loved it.
Yeah.
And TJD didn't back down at all. You know what? The baby dubs, good for them. Like, honestly, good for them. Finally, about time somebody fought back who wasn't Draymond.
There you go. 888-957-9570. There was funny. Jason and Concord, I'm going to get to you in a second. There was a moment yesterday.
I love Pat Spencer. You guys know this. You guys have been laughing at me all year. I get it. I'm not here to say anything.
Do you know how old he is?
I don't even think he's a backup point guard. As a third point guard, you could do a lot worse.
You know how old he is? Can you guess how old Pat Spencer is?
28?
That good, great guess. Look at that.
Because I know that he didn't start playing hoops until after his lacrosse
career. Exactly, yeah.
He basically won the equivalent of the Heisman in lacrosse.
He's going to be 29, I think, here in a couple months.
Athletic.
He is. No, he was getting his spots. He is one of those guys that has played professionally for a long time, albeit either the G League or overseas. I think he played in China. Like, he knows what he's doing when he comes into the game. He's not trying to reinvent the wheel. Knows pick and choose his spots. and he attacks. And you know what? I thought that was a great fight. And that was, you're talking about silver linings. Silver linings is getting those Houston Rockets starters back in the game and actually like making them play towards the end there. Ime Udoka did not want to have to do that, but he had to because those backups, the Jock Landales of the world, were not getting it done. Let's go to Jason in Concord. He wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. We're reacting to a Rockets 131-116 win in Game 5 over the Golden State Warriors. Game 6 tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Chase Center. We'll have all that coverage right here, 95.7 The Game. But in the meantime, we're talking about this loss. It was a doozy, and not in the good way. Jason, what you got, man? Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Hey, you know what? Last night games, I'm going to say about it what New Yorkers say. Forget about it. Just move on. Stuff like that happened. Games like that happened. Unfortunately for us, it did in the playoffs. But it's about tomorrow night now. Tomorrow night is going to be elimination game for us. That's right. Let's play it like we're the one who's down 3-2 because there's no way you're going to give up tomorrow and go to Houston and face what you just faced last night. It's not going to happen. Young team that gets fueled by the crowd. You guys just mentioned it. How fueled they were because how loud the arena was. It was just unbelievable. And young teams do get fueled by stuff like that. Where's the one elimination face elimination tomorrow? Because there's no way, no freaking way we're going to go to Houston and try to take game 7. To me, last night game, what we could take away from it is the first quarter and first quarter only. What happened? Why did that happen? They came out with big, high intensity, with a purpose, elimination game, and they punched us in the face and we were never able to recover. We need to match that up tomorrow. And there's no other option, guys.
That's Jason Conkert.
There's no way we'll go to Houston and try to take game 7 after what happened last night.
There you go. That's Jason and Conkert. And listen, I brought up that Kings series because the same scenario happened. And I kind of liken this Rockets team to that Kings team. Young up-and-comers, a lot of great talent on there. I think that Kings team had the offense that this Houston Rockets team wished they had, albeit yesterday they looked incredible. And then this Rockets defense is probably what the Kings would want a couple years ago. So they're kind of like the reverse or the two a different side of the same coin, if you will. But that being said, you lost that game. Then you went up to Sacramento and you took care of business. So I'm not here to say that, like, even if they lose tomorrow, they could still absolutely go to Houston and win the game. I don't want that to be the case, though, because, again, as we mentioned, if you're trying to look forward in the series, and I know you're not, absolutely you're not, after going up 3-1, I just have to bring it up. Minnesota Timberwolves are licking their chops, and now they're the ones that are saying, yeah, go Houston. Yeah, push this to 7. We'll take all the time in the world after we wrapped up our series in 5 games, taking out the Lakers, who looked just god-awful yesterday. Oh, my God. And J.J. Redick setting the tone for that one, being tight, 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 snapping at reporters early in that game. Yikes. So the Lakers, they're cooked. Luka, LeBron, bye-bye. Anthony Edwards, Chris Finch, and co. Julius Randle all advance to the second round for the back-to-back year for them. So
if it goes to a game 7, that'll be 5 games in 9 days.
It'll be a lot. Be a lot.
After playing 9 games in 15 days prior to that.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, they're you know, toward the end of the season. And we saw how tired they get.
We're going to pick this up on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. All right, they get blown out yesterday. You're still up 3-2. Concern level. Are we panicking or is it nothing to see here after the L? That's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
What's up, Roasters? It's Sam from Laughing Monk Brewing. And you're listening to The Morning Roast with my guys, Bodoni and Shasky. Shasky, stop picking the lobster out of the linguine.
You would never do that. God, I can go for some lobster linguine at 6:47 a.m. I'm not going to lie. Shout out Sam Goodyear. Shout out Laughing Monk, where we are broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk studios, I should say. And Laughing Monk, as you know, is righteously brewed here in San Francisco. And this segment is also brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. I hope the Warriors can succeed tomorrow in Game 6. That'd be great. Be lovely. And everyone can enjoy a stress-free weekend, right? Star Wars weekend. We gave away a four-pack of tickets yesterday, courtesy of Oracle. That was fun. Giants took an L yesterday, though. They lost that little series down in San Diego. The Padres look good, by the way. Spoiler alert, they're very good. The Rockets looked good yesterday. They looked incredible. 40 points, that was the first true blowout of this series, Joe. 131-116, 888-957-9570. is it nothing to see here? We got him in six. We're back home. Or is there some panic creeping in, Dub Nation, for you after a 40-point first quarter? Amen Thompson looking incredible. Alperen Şengün, an assist and rebound shy of a triple-double. Fred VanVleet looking like 2019 Fred VanVleet all of a sudden these last two games. Was it something or nothing? 888-957-9570. How are we feeling, Joe? I know. There's always an urgency factor here. But there has to be a part of you in the back of your mind saying, like, okay, I'm not quite, the panic's not quite setting in. But, like, they're officially on notice with that loss yesterday, right? If you're the Warriors, officially.
I mean, you're asking two different things. I'm reacting to what happened last night.
Yes.
And what happened last night was really disappointing.
That's true.
All right? And now, does that not mean that, like, they're still in the quote-unquote driver's seat? Of course. But I also just understand how difficult this is going to be. I mean, look, Joe, I'm not trying to pin you down on this, but this mindset, they're just going to blow the Rockets out. Like, I never subscribed to that. Because I think that these games have been significantly more difficult than people are willing to admit.
I said they had an opportunity to do that if they built a big lead in the first quarter like the Rockets did today.
They have yet to play a real great first quarter yet.
I understand. But the game prior in, what was it, game four, they did have a 12-point lead in that first quarter, and then they let that slip. I hear you. If they were able to do that yesterday, I was saying they had an opportunity. The Rockets would have gotten tight, is what
Joe,
I'm saying.
Over the last three or four games, there has been nothing. If you watch it on TNT or ESPN, whatever that's been on, they show the graphic. 10-2 run from the Rockets. 12-2 run from the Rockets. It has been a game of runs for them, a series of runs for them. And part of what makes them very unique is that they're hard to score on. They're just hard to score on. So, like, they play a slow pace. They have forced the Warriors into late shot clock, you know, playmaking from guys that you really don't want having the ball in their hand at the end of the shot clock. They've done a great job understanding the personnel of the Warriors and what they do well. They have slowed them down. They have basically turned Steph Curry into an ISO player, and he's going up against a guy who, I mean, look, Prime Pippen is one of the greatest perimeter defenders I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This kid's got some of the skill set. I'm not saying he's Pippen. Like, I'm pumping the bricks, but I'm saying, like, this is what it looks like with those types of guys. Elite, strong, unbelievably agile, quick, ferocious defender who understands where you want to go with the ball and has clearly studied you nonstop. Like, the kid has got the feel for the game, Amen Thompson. And I think that Şengün has been quietly brilliant at blitzing Steph Curry at specific spots on the floor. And they've basically taken away his ability to relocate. And what you've seen is they've had opportunities to go 4-on-3 at the top of the key, meaning two guys are at Steph, he gives it up, and now it's a 4-on-3. They have failed to capitalize on it, whether it's GP2, Draymond Green, Pajemski, Jimmy Butler, Quentin Post, Buddy Hield, whatever the other combinations are out there, they have failed to make them pay. And if they're going to blitz Steph Curry, other people have to make them pay, and they haven't done that. So, we can say, oh, they're still in the driver's seat. And yeah, you're right. Like, no doubt. But let's also acknowledge they have some adjustments to make, sure. And they have to play better. Steph was bad yesterday. You see the turnovers coming a mile away. Like, that's not just Steph not wanting to play. I don't think that's. That's like the give credit to the Rockets.
No, I completely give credit to the Rockets. They punched them in the mouth and the Warriors didn't recover yesterday. That was the best quarter of basketball they have played this entire series, was that quarter, that opening quarter yesterday out at the Toyota Center. 40 points they dropped. For a team that can't score, they just dropped the most points a Houston Rockets team has in the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors. None of those Harden teams, think of what a great offensive basketball, those James Harden Rockets teams, Chris Paul. Like, they didn't even score 130 on that Warriors squad, albeit those Warriors teams defensively, I think, even better than what we're seeing with this Warriors squad. And maybe, if I'm a Warriors fan today, I can't get mad at them saying, like, you know what? Maybe the Rockets were just due for an offensive explosion. They've been barely scoring over 100 points. Or if that, they've done it, like, once this entire series prior to it. Like, they were due, maybe. And you know what? Maybe they'll be a little tighter heading into Chase Center tomorrow. But I'm not here to say that there's an excuse with the effort level. Again, I'm freaking Joe Spadoni up here. I'm 5'10". I'm a 185 soaking wet. Like, I'm not questioning the effort level of, like, all-time players, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Pods, any of those guys. I'm not doing that. I just think the Rockets were firing on all cylinders early.
They were causing
havoc, and absolutely credit them. They had their backs against the wall, and they played like it. Now, do it again. Do it again, Rockets, at Chase Center. If they do it again, and it's the same thing as happened last game, then yes, I would be very concerned heading into Game 7. But you know what? You know what? Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, they've all been in this situation before. And here's Jimmy Buckets after the game talking about it.
We're fine. Our confidence isn't going to waver any. We're going to start out better. We're going to play a better overall game because we know how good of a team we are as a unit. We know how good our players are as individuals. So we just got to, as starters, we got to kick us off better, which we know that we will do. We'll be fine.
See, there you go. We'll be fine. Jimmy's chilling. He's going to go play his dominoes, have his coffee, get the butt massage. He's chilling. All right.
Fred VanVleet had 14 in the first quarter.
He looked great. It's champion Fred VanVleet, 2019. I don't know if you heard that before.
Okay. Right. He had Dylan Brooks has been really good
in this
series. He had 9 in the first quarter. All right. The rest of the guys, 5, 6, and 6. And they played their guys like they comprehensively played excellent yesterday.
They did.
And look, you can say that they hit shots. They're not going to do that. Well, they get a ton of second chance opportunities. That has been sustainable through all 5 games. All right. Now, Fred VanVleet, these last 2 games, has clearly found something. He's clearly found something. Şengün has been a problem all series. Dylan Brooks has been good all series. Amen Thompson is getting better as the series is going on. I'm not here to say the sky is falling and that the Warriors are screwed. I'm just saying, like, this is a dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to say, oh, there's nothing to learn here, I disagree. There's some big adjustments they need to make. They need to tinker with the starting lineup. They need to figure out how to get Steph Curry going. Jimmy's got to be more assertive. And Draymond Green has got to, you know, penetrate. If he's going to catch the ball at the top of the key and not be a threat shooting-wise, then he has to be able to set up for others or attack the rim.
Let's go to the calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line today. Are you with Jimmy Butler? Says, we're fine. We'll be fine. It's all good. Or is panic starting to creep in, Dub Nation, for you? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Coach Hall in the aforementioned San Diego. Coach Hall, good morning. What you got, man?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. You guys are deep down here, too. I saw a lot of Giants fans because I live near the stadium. Dang, I didn't know you guys travel like that.
Oh, yeah. They love going out to Petco. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was a lot of you guys. But regarding the game yesterday, it was at one point in the first quarter, I saw the Rockets shot 11 free throws, and we were at 0. And I thought it was at that point that Kerr should have called a timeout. I think it was like 13-8, and they had just went on a run and settled the team down or just light a fire under them. I remember, Shasky, you and I talking 3 years ago when we got blown out by Memphis. I think we lost by like 50 points. And what happened in that series is when they were doubling Steph at the top or trapping him, Steph was attacking his angles because he's already short. If he come off those screens low to the ground and penetrate, he was getting to the basket. That's what he was doing. I think game 1 or 2, he scored 38. And then if we're going to put guys in the game and they're going to trap him and they're in the middle of the floor, like Pods passed up, what, 4 wide open free throw shots after Steph got trapped for a 3. Like, I don't understand that logic at all. If it was me, I'd put J.K. or Moody right there at the center spot at the top of the free throw. After Steph gets trapped, turn around and just shoot the shot or take a dribble in. Most they're going to do is foul you. Like, I personally don't think nobody on the Rockets is better than Steph, Jimmy, and Dre. They just got to put themselves in position to win and stop with the turnovers. All the losses have the same thing, turnovers. Man, just keep the game simple. We'll be fine. We'll blow them out. But I'm really nervous against the Timberwolves. I think we win in a blowout on Friday.
You say that nobody's better than those guys, and we all agree. I mean, like,
thanks,
the
Coach.
Resumes are cemented, but VanVleet's outplayed Curry the last 2 games.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You know, yep. like, and we all love Curry. Curry's a legend. He's a top 10 player of all time, but like they have to start playing like it. Right. And so they're going to need these guys. Jimmy and Steph have got to have better first quarters.
It goes without saying. Yeah, I don't want to give any like momentum, especially heading into game six tomorrow. Again, 6 o'clock right here, 95.7 The Game at Chase Center. Like, I don't want to give them any hope early on in that game. That's why I wanted them to attack early yesterday to make them feel tight. Even though they are at home, it's going to be a little different. Can those guys step up on the road? Van Vliet, sure, he might be able to do it again, but can Amen Thompson do it on the road? Can you know, Jalen Green?
Wait, let me stop you on Amen Thompson. Has he not gotten better in every game?
No, he has.
Okay.
I thought that was his best shooting performance by far.
Yeah, has he gotten anything he wanted at the rim when he's going downhill in the last three games?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. So, like, that's not going away. Like, when you have the ability to get downhill, it's very difficult to go away. What about his defense? He's gotten better and better and better. How many times has he picked Curry's pocket?
He had 5 steals in the first half yesterday. 3 blocks, too.
Which fuels their transition game, and they're going to score 9 out of 10 times because they're just more athletic, quicker, and more dynamic than most teams. So I'm not saying that the Warriors can't adjust and play better. What I'm saying is there are guys that they need to stop and find ways to stymie. And Amen Thompson is number one. They have got to free up Curry. They're not winning this series without a Curry game.
Well, I think, we've had a Curry game. You need another Curry game.
I'm saying they need at least one more Curry game.
One more Curry game. Well, listen.
If he doesn't score 25, they're not winning this one.
I don't give a damn who it comes from. Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry. Someone's got to step up and have a massive game in one of the. And hopefully it's just tomorrow and there is not a game 7 because then you're absolutely playing with fire. Like, I don't buy the notion, even if they do lose tomorrow. And again, you can say this is a loser mentality and every win is a must. Every game is a must win. It's like the fact of the matter is, they have been here before. They have been in this situation before, up 3-2, coming back home. The Sacramento Kings series, just 2 years removed from that. Same thing happened. You were there. They lost. They went to Sacramento. And Steph had an amazing game. It was a Steph game. So I do think that can still be baked in the equation. They have to go back to Houston at some point. I know you don't want to do that. You don't want to. But I still feel, in my gut, in my big gut right here, I feel like they could still win this thing if it has to go 7.
When people say because 3 years ago, when you were younger and more healthy, you dropped 50, and
no, I think this
we
team's
won
better.
A game 7.
I think this
just
team's better
it
than 2 years
doesn't
ago.
Doesn't mean that's the template. Like, the template for me is totally different. They're going to have to, like, it's going to be a tighter game, but, like, they've got to execute better in the half court, and they've got to find a way to initiate offense earlier in the shot clock.
Sure.
That is not going away. They need Brandon Podziemski to be more assertive. He's got to score. Draymond has got to score. Jimmy cannot be relegated to shooting late shot clock threes. He has got to get on the block. Like, you got to ISO him, get him on the block, throw him the ball early, and run some split action off of it. They've got to get creative here.
Just think it was a bad game. It was a bad game from them, from everyone. I don't think anyone outside of Moses Moody off the bench really had a great game. Pat Spencer.
And it's
like,
hard for me to take the Moses Moody thing with a full grain of salt because it was blowout time.
And that's a different kind of game. Like, I understand where people are like, oh, silver lining. So I was like, hey, I don't know.
No,
how
but
much
he did need to find a shot.
He did.
That I agree
by
with.
By the way, it's funny. I was bringing up that game 5 Grizzlies-Warriors back a couple years ago, 3 years ago, in fact. That was on May 11th in 2022. Time flies, man. 134-95. In Memphis, Memphis Grizzlies ended up winning that, and then it goes back to Chase Center. Warriors take care of that in 6. But you know who the leading scorer was? Or check that. The second leading scorer was on that team. It was Jonathan Kuminga in that game. 17 points. He had 24 minutes off the bench.
First thing, I talked with Grandy.
And he did not
quarter.
Play yesterday.
Well, I called Grandy because I was managing. I go, where's Kuminga? And he said, well, they said he was out with an illness an hour before the game. I had missed it. I was making dinner
DNP.
For the little guy, you know, and I totally missed that. And I'm like, boy, they could have used him.
They absolutely could have used him. We could use Paul.
I think he could have used the minutes, too.
Absolutely. Paul is in Washington, wants to join in the conversation, 888-957-9570. Paul, good morning. How are we feeling about that L yesterday?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm worried because we are leaking oil, man. I seen it in the first quarter, you know, that we're breathing through our mouths. I seen swiping at Steph's thumb and Jimmy's hurt. We're tired, man. I know we used to be what we used to be, but we ain't that right now. We're older, 24 hours to go, and we're going to have to do it all over again. We got to find a solution. I just want to ask a question. I don't understand. Pat Spencer needs more time. Things happen when he comes in. Guy Santos, Kevin Knox, these young legs. We could have used them in the second half, you know, more, and give the starters some rest. Can you tell me why Steve won't do that?
Well, because Kevin Knox is barely an NBA player.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be reasonable.
I watched him in Summer League at the California Classic courtside with Bonte and Doc Pondia. He was playing Summer League games, like, as Bronny James. Like,
no, he hasn't been in the league like 5 years.
Yeah, but he's doing, like, but that was where he was at in the league. He was a Summer League player.
Yeah. He's not like a rookie player.
No. Well, in the Pat Spencer minutes, like, who's he taking minutes over right now? Who do you want him taking? Like, he's a ball handling point guard. Like, Pods is going to get those minutes, and then when Pods isn't out there, it's going to be either Jimmy Butler or Stephen Curry.
Well, I
right? Like, I don't know who's he taking minutes for out there. I don't know.
Do they need a ball handler?
Is he going to play off ball? Is he going to, like, I don't
know. No, but I'm asking you, could they use another ball handler?
I don't know. I just thought yesterday was a bad game, and Pat Spencer, he balls in garbage time a lot, and that's great. And he's had some spurts in, like, actual, like, minutes before. I'm not here to poo-poo Pat Spencer. I actually loved his energy and his effort yesterday. It was refreshing, quite frankly. But I don't know what to make of it, to be honest.
I mean, it's a
blowout. It's great. You made a run, but it was a blowout. Like,
I mean, a couple minutes here and there, but no, he's not going to get.
No.
See, but one of the elements of this team right now is they could use a ball handler. And this is where, to me, the answer is simple. It's not Pat Spencer.
Who are you playing him next to, though? Like, that's the thing.
No, it's Jimmy Butler handling the ball more. It's Jimmy Butler being more aggressive.
Okay.
Right, Jimmy Butler needs to, in the first quarter, get guys in foul trouble. I thought that the Rockets took the Jimmy Butler playbook of, hey, we're going to go right at you and get all of your guys in foul trouble. Butler picked up one. Steph picked up one. Draymond picked up one. Boom, we're in the bonus.
Here is Jimmy Butler, as you're talking about his level of movement right now. And maybe what's the concern with his physical status?
It's getting better. It's getting there. You know, another day and some change of recovery and rest, but that's no excuse for how I played, how we played as a whole. Like I always say, if anybody takes that floor, you're expected to go out there and produce, and more than anything, you're expected to go out there and win.
You're not going to hear complaining. You're not going to hear excuses from Jimmy, whether it's the glute contusion, whether it's Steph talking about his thumb, whether it's Draymond talking about the wear and tear. They're not going to use that as an excuse, but it definitely is a factor as the series goes on and on. We talked about it before game one. The pound of flesh that's going to be taken from this series is going to matter. And the fact that you had an opportunity to get it done in five, I think is the most frustrating aspect of where Warriors fans are at. Because I do think a lot of Warriors fans in their heart of hearts still feel like they're winning this series. But now it's going to have to at least be in six. And that's what's really frustrating Warriors fans waking up today.
Well,
it's
especially...
Especially because the Timberwolves took care of business yesterday, and then you watched it. Like, that was a team, and I can't get it out of my mind. And I know we're talking about the Warriors today, but I did watch that Timberwolves-Lakers game, and that was a team when not a lot was going right for them shooting the ball, but that didn't stop them from winning the game. You know why? Because they still dominated defensively over the likes of LeBron James. Pretty good offensive player, right? Over the likes of Luka Doncic. Pretty good offensive player. Yeah. Austin Reeves. They took care of their business on one end of the basketball. Warriors weren't able to do that on either end yesterday, and it was apparent in that first quarter. They just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. And that was what frustrated me the most after watching Minnesota the game after, as they won 103-96 over the Lakers. They won that series, and now they are awaiting the winner of the Rockets and Warriors series, and they're going to be at home in Minnesota regardless. Well, actually, That's not true, because the Rockets win, they'll be in Houston. Sorry, continue.
There's obviously, like, defensive issues that have been present the entire series. They've struggled against Şengün, just struggled against him. They've been struggling now with, you know, situationally doubling him and then even kicking it out to a wide open shooter who are now starting to feel confident from beyond the arc. So that's an element. That's a real element. But also there's the element of offense. Right now, Steph's averaging 23 for the series. The next highest scorer is Jimmy Butler at 15 points. And then you got Pods, Pat Spencer averaging 11, even though he's only played a couple games. Moody, like, that they need a couple of guys to step up and score. And I'm looking at Draymond, and I'm saying to myself, like, Draymond's averaging 6 in this series.
Not great.
Now, situationally, he's had some brilliant defensive stops. Game 1, I thought he was great down the stretch defensively. Game 3 and game 4, he was great down the stretch. But for long parts of this series – He hasn't been good enough. And if we're going to go big three, pound our chest and demand more from Jimmy Butler as he's compromised, we just need a little more offense from Draymond Green throughout the first through third quarters. And I know he hit a couple of shots the other day, but it's setting up for others. Like, the assist numbers aren't really there for him right now. Like, in the entire series, how many assists do you think Draymond has through five games?
Ooh, great question. How many assists in total? Not what he's averaging. In total assists for Draymond, I'm going to go 12.
11.
Ooh, I was close. Nice.
I mean, this is a guy that gives you 4 or 5 a game,
yeah,
right? Like, in the regular season. Like,
not good enough.
He's one of the top assist getters. So what does that tell you? That tells you, like, they're too passive. He's not setting up for himself. They're clamping down in this zone and in a specific matchup man that they do at times. And they're like, Draymond, we're daring you to be the playmaker you think you are.
Well, and that we know he can be a playmaker, but again.
But he hasn't shown it.
But where does Jimmy Butler fit into all that? And again, that goes back to you wanting him to handle the ball more and being that guy to lead this offense going forward. Maybe that's a look that they need to lean into more. But again, you're not, after yesterday, it's not like that game is going to, you have to reinvent the wheel here. Like, you know what these teams are in this series, I feel like. Yes, the Rockets are playing with more confidence than you would like, especially after last game. But again, momentum is a tricky thing. It's game to game. We'll see. What if the Warriors have a hot start next game, and the Rockets are the one that are down double digits after a quarter? We'll see if they're going to be the ones to get tight, right? 888-957-9570. Again, I'm just going to keep playing. I'm going to keep playing this throughout. A lot of Warriors fans, they might be waking up, you know, exhausted, scratching their heads, panicking, whatever the word. Jimmy Butler's not.
We're fine. Our confidence isn't going to waver any. We're going to start out better. We're going to play a better overall game because we know how good of a team we are as a unit. We know how good our players are as individuals. So we just got a starters. We got to kick us off better, which we know that we will do. We'll be fine.
I guess my question is, like, what's more frustrating or disappointing? Was it the actual performance of the game for Warriors fans, or is it the fact this is now going six? I think a lot of fans are feeling like, damn, like, six games now? Five would have felt great. Five would have felt amazing given the age of this team.
This is not the vintage Warriors.
It's not, but I think that's where a lot of Warriors fans, it's not even the game that they're worried about and concerned about. I know you are from an
Exodus. It's the age.
It's this series now going six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of Warriors fans are. The energy required to get up for a game. Like, game six. It's going to be a tight game, one way or the other, you would assume. Let's say they lose that game. Now they got to get back up, get on a flight, fly out to Houston, and get back up for probably a midday.
Yeah, it's going to be afternoon Sunday game. Yeah. Yeah. I know. They're playing. Hey, they're
Saturday,
playing fire.
Monday. I know. Wednesday. Friday. Sunday.
I know.
35. 35 and 37. Those are your top dogs. Their top dogs, 23 and 22.
But this is where experience matters, right? You would think, leaning on guys like Jimmy who have been there. Steph,
I think they're so young and irrational. The Rockets don't know no better.
Sure. We said that about the King. Again, I'm going to bring up that series because I think it's very similar to where the Rockets are now. With that Kings team a couple years ago, where they were a young, up-and-coming team with the dominant big man, Domantas Sabonis. I think Şengün's a better player than Sabonis was then. But again, still a big man that presented challenges to them. But what did the Warriors do? You had a Stephen Curry game. You still have an opportunity to have that game, and boy, would it be nice to have it at Chase Center. We got a break. We're up against it. Greg and Sam Ramon, Lisa, we'll get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Is everything going to be fine? Dub Nation, are you with Jimmy? Everything going to be fine? And should the Warriors have tried to make that comeback attempt in the second half? Should they have tried a little bit harder to make that run? Steve Kerr had some interesting thoughts about that, and I want to get to it on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.